a company is really just people that are choosing to work together on the same team to reach a vision or objective and are all working towards that.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications to help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast with your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, superfans, Freddie D here. In this episode 183, we're joined by Will Spingler, founder and principal of Frederick Fox, a fast-growing recruiting firm that's reimagined how top-tier finance and accounting talent is hired. Since launching in 2019, Will has built a powerhouse team of over 55 veteran recruiters, scaling to serve more than 700 clients, all without outside funding. He's led Frederick Fox with a focus on speed, accountability, and a human-first approach, helping finance leaders make smart hires with confidence. A math nerd turned entrepreneur, Will is also a guitar-playing, hot yoga-loving father of three who brings real-world insight and zero fluff to everyday conversations. Welcome, Will, to Business Superfans, the Service Providers Edge podcast. Great conversation that we had before we started recording. You're down in Delray Beach, Florida. I'm here in Arizona. My mother-in-law lives in Delray, so we spent a lot of time there. Welcome to the show.
Do you try to avoid Delray because since your mother-in-law's there, or do you come down often?
Yeah, we come down often. She was just down there recently because she works for a company that's based in Coral Gables. And so she works remotely. She'll be with the company 8 years in April. And every year they have a company meeting and they bring all their team from the United States for business meetings and then team building and fun stuff. She's been one of their top performers. She's in sales. And so she ends up always getting the prize to hang out with the owner of the company. Last year, she ended up doing deep sea fishing, not her favorite thing. But she got to hang out on the boat with the guy, so that was for her one-on-one time for several hours.
Very nice. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show, Freddie D. And yeah, it's nice meeting you as well. I lived in Arizona from 2011 to 2020 and moved to Delray during COVID, and I love it down here. But spent a lot of time in Cave Creek and Scottsdale, and very familiar with the area.
Yeah, we're deciding whether we want to stay here. I've been here since 96, so I saw the whole thing kind of explode. But I told her that I'm ready for some water. Desert's great. We've got some man-made lakes, but I'm ready for some sand and some islands. We're looking at some of the Caribbean islands. Last year, we went on a cruise from Hawaii all the way down to Australia. And so we hit Tahiti and New Zealand and stuff like that. And so I was like, good hang here. This doesn't suck. Well, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But so let's go back to the beginning. And how did you get started with Frederick Fox?
Frederick Fox was started in 2019, but I started the business in 2019. Before starting the company, I had worked for two other businesses for about 8 years combined. And I always say, I think I was just young enough and just dumb enough to start a company. I started at 31 and been at it now 6 years. I always say I was dumb enough because I didn't really fully know what I was getting into. So it was maybe a good thing I didn't know that. 6 years later, we're coming up on $10 million in revenues. We have 55 agency recruiters, 5 back office, and we have over 850 customers that we provide professional staffing services to, mainly in accounting and finance, sales and operations, and technology.
Wow, that's really good from 19 to 25. That's a massive growth.
Yeah, somehow I stayed married, just barely. I have a 8, 6, and a 2-year-old. And so I think the first 4 or 5 years, I worked 7 days a week. I'd get up at 5 a.m. and I'd work till 11 at night. I so badly wanted to make this work and grow it, but I think I didn't put my family and my priorities in the right place. So the last few years I've slowed down and gone back to 40 hours a week, but the business is growing. I think anyone that's been in business a while will tell you businesses take 10, 15, 20 years to build. I was young and immature and was trying to make it happen overnight.
You did a pretty darn good job for 6 years and grossing $10 million. That doesn't suck.
Thank you.
So what makes you guys unique? Because it's a crowded space and I'm familiar with the industry because I started in a tech space decades ago and I'm still friends with the recruiter that I worked with back there because he strategically placed me around multitude of different companies, always in a better position. I'm still friends with him decades later, but he was a one-man band and he was very good at what he did, but you scaled to significantly much larger organization than what he's done.
Yeah, I was a single shingle for 2 years before I scaled up. And so I used to think of myself as like a lone assassin. But then I really realized that I perform better working with other people in a team. I thought I was a lone wolf, and then I realized I actually do better and my mental health is better when I'm working within teams. And so as far as what makes us different, I don't think we have a differentiator to the end client with cutting edge teeth on the bone. Of course, we position ourselves as an executive search firm that only hires veteran agency recruiters with at least 7 years of agency experience. But I think our real differentiator is our internal model to the recruiters that work for us. So we're a shared services model, almost set up like a real estate brokerage is set up in the sense that we handle all the accounting, billing, collections, funding, contract staffing, and we handle all the compliance for temporary workers. And a lot of our recruiters are, we have a mix of W-2 and 1099 now, but we found, first of all, we pay our recruiters 80% commissions, which our competitors pay typically 30 to 40% commissions. So we've doubled that. So we're a very thin margin business, but I think the idea was to pay out as much as possible and to have a really innovative shared service center that could handle the scale. And we've pulled that off. So long answer to your question, but I think the differentiator is how we treat our people that work for Frederick Fox, how we pay them, and the opportunity we've given the people that sell for us. That's our differentiator. Not so much the differentiator to the end client.
Sure. Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, I'm going to re-highlight here is the fact that your team, it all starts internally. And that's one of the things I've always talked about is that's your front line. Your team is your front line. You have a combination of people that actually work with you. And I use the term with because it just changes the dynamics. Yeah. And so you've got people that are on your team directly as W-2s, but you've also got people that are on your team that are 1099. And so collectively, you've got a team, but that's the front line. That's the people that represent the organization. So by elevating them and treating them as your core team, that's the differentiator you guys have. Is the team is the nucleus of the business. Let's take a quick pause to thank our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that makes cold connections feel warm. Here's the deal. Most service business owners are drowning in spammy DMs and cookie cutter LinkedIn messages that never get a response. Sound familiar? Ninja Prospecting flips that script. They craft human-first outreach that actually sounds like you, and more importantly, gets results. No bots, no fluff, just real conversations that open doors. If you want to stop wasting time on dead-end messages and start filling your pipeline with qualified leads, talk to my friend Adam Packard and his team. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com to schedule a chat today, and be sure to mention you heard about it right here on the Business Superfans
the service provider's edge. And hey, if you're the kind of person who likes to get started right away, you can join their free community at school.skool.com/ninja-prospecting-7704. It's packed with tips to maximize your connections and start making the right new ones. All right, let's get back to our conversation.
We have a flyer when we try to hire a new sales rep that it literally says, are you tired of working for and ready to work with? The fact that you say that as well, that's one of our main things, is working for seems too command and control. I think people are tired of that, to be honest. We view the business as, how do we add more value to our salespeople? And we view the salespeople as our internal customer. And how can we add as much value to them and make their life as easy as possible so that they then go out to the customer and are an advocate of our company, right?
Yeah, so, they're super fans. You want to transform your internal team into super fans, right, as your organization, because once that happens, that's contagious, because you've got somebody that's fired up. I remember back in the early 80s when I got in the tech space, we had a group of us that started roughly around the same time. This was in the beginning of the software world and the computer-aided design, computer-aided manufacturing. We were a team for 7 years together, and I'm still friends with the guy that I started on the same day. We didn't know anybody, so we figured we'd hang out together. And decades later, we're still friends. That was contagious. Whenever we would do presentations, we would go to customers and prospective customers, everything else. We had a bounce in our step because the way the company treated us, we were appreciated. We were recognized. Our manager came in, we're prepping for a presentation, came in with pizza and beer into the office at about 11:30 at night and hung out with us for an hour. So that's the difference that you guys have got. That's your engine.
I completely agree. In a services business, I think people are your greatest asset. In staffing, the very low barrier to entry company. In other businesses, there might be $1 million manufacturing plant. We don't have a heavy asset that is making salespeople stick. So we have to innovate as a company to empower them and set up a culture where we're continuously learning. We're taking feedback on how we could add more value to them. I've had people say, why do you do all the development to make their jobs easier when your margin's only 20%? I never even thought of it that way, because I always thought of it as, how do I constantly innovate, develop process automation so that I can make the job easier for them? I also don't believe in non-competes and non-solicits. I don't believe in that type of command and control. I know people would argue otherwise, but I think just taking that off the table and taking more of a, how do I add so much value to you that you don't want to leave, right?
Then that's what a good leader does. A good leader helps empower their team and elevate their team and then gets the heck out of the way and lets them do what they need to do. And you're really a facilitator to helping them be successful at what they want to accomplish. And once you've got a team that's empowered and believes in your organization, it's like watching a Super Bowl team, and you can tell who's going to win the game by the fact of who's agile, who's having fun on the field. And the guys that are loose, having fun, high-fiving, chest bumping, all that stuff, they've got a momentum going. And you can't break. Once you get that momentum rolling, it's unstoppable and it's contagious and it gets everybody fired up.
100%. I'm 37, but been in a leadership role for about 10 or 11 years. And I've started this business about 6 years ago. But one of the things I've learned as the founder of the business is that if you make yourself the bottleneck and every decision has to come to you, you're actually holding back your company from growing. So if you're empowering the people and you're creating a culture that gets them excited, you do really just need to get out of the way, because your business outgrows you as the founder, and you don't want to be a founder that blocks the business. It's like you have to let people run with projects and own them and not get in the way otherwise, and allowing them to be creative. Because next thing you've got people pushing your business and you're just essentially in a coaching function, just trying to see how can I add more value to you? The business outgrows even what you thought it would be when you first started.
So let's talk a little bit about how do you guys source people and how do you guys place people? Because at the end of the day, that's what you are. You're helping businesses find talent so that they can grow their business. And you're the facilitator of all that. So let's talk a little bit about that, Will.
Yeah, sure. So as far as where to start with this is that we first try to find companies that have open positions typically at the senior to executive level, 100 to 300K range. And we are approaching them. And as a service provider, we charge a one-time fee for placing the candidate. Companies don't typically like to pay recruiting fees, and I don't blame them. We're almost like attorneys at times. Nobody wants to pay an attorney. The difference is a lot of companies will advertise, they'll work their network, they'll use Indeed, ZipRecruiter, Monster, Career Builder. I think where we really make sense, because I've had companies say, can't we just use our internal recruiter and post an ad? Please go ahead and do that. What we really do is we're like research people. We research all your competitors within the market. We talk to you about exactly what you're trying to accomplish in the hire and the type of profile that works for your company. And we really just do sometimes 20, 30 hours of research and map everybody that could make sense based off the criteria our customers give us. And it becomes a sales job of calling people that aren't looking for a job, pitching our customer's value proposition, and trying to convince them to move over to our client. There's a lot of things recruiters do to de-risk hiring on behalf of our customers as well, to make sure that's a quality hire. But that's our service offering. We're like real estate brokers, but we're brokering hiring and people movement.
Yeah. And so you got to really look at the individual as their skill set. Will they fit into the culture of the company? So you guys are doing a lot of different things to really qualify that individual that says, okay, I'm interested in this opportunity, because at the end of the day, they've got to walk in and be almost hit the streets running into that organization. I think that's your biggest differentiator, is you're getting people that can do that. They can start day one and they're ready to rock and roll, and they don't need a big ramp up time because they've got the skill set that the company is looking for, and they assimilate into the organization very quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah. What a recruiter does is they first need to understand the complexity of our end customer's environment, what stage of development that company's in, what technologies they use, what problems they're trying to solve. And so I think recruiters first need to understand the customer and what exactly they need and their value proposition, and then really interview for very specifically to that fit, and then also do references and background checks to ensure that somebody is who they really are. And in the people business, anything can happen with people. It's a kind of a two-way sell, but we do a really good job. We have about a 96%, actually, excuse me, more like 98 or 99% success rate on the first pass. There are those instances where people start a job and their significant other passes away or some kind of life event occurs that's outside our control. But we have 100% success rate of finding somebody else. But we de-risk it as much as possible. It's very rare where that does happen.
Yeah, because you're really looking at what the objectives of the companies are that you're working with to find a proper teammate that's going to come in as be part of the team. And that takes a unique skill set, because you got to really vet the person comprehensively. I remember when I was working with my recruiter, and he would help me understand the companies I was going to be talking to and everything else. The way I would come in prepared, I would have a 90-day plan put together for the position. So when I went into the interview, I had the mindset, it was my job, and here's how I'm going to tackle the job right off the bat because of the preparedness that I had. And in fact, I had a 90-day plan, and we would end up tweaking the plan. And the job was already mine because of the fact that I went in with the mindset, because Mike was the recruiter. He helped me get prepared properly for the opportunity.
Yeah. It sounds like Mike is a really good recruiter, and that's exactly what we try to do as well.
Yeah, because that's what you're doing, is you're creating a marriage, in a sense, for lack of a better way of wording it, but you're taking a highly skilled individual that's potentially looking for an opportunity. It may not be initially, but all of a sudden that opportunity says, maybe I should really think about this. And then you're solving the need of a company so that they can get to the next level. I'd say different than a real estate broker. You're really brokering relationships so that businesses can scale to the level they need to with the right proper talent as part of their organization.
Yeah, I think we help save companies time. I don't think recruiting is rocket science per se. When I first got into recruiting and I interviewed with a recruiter, I thought it seemed like a scam. But after 14 years in the business and just doing it, and I've made thousands of placements, it is a lot of actual work. It's a lot of interviewing, prepping, debriefing. Recruiting is one of those time-intensive things. If you're trying to fill a chief financial officer job, you might get 600 applications, but you actually have to read through those, call them. CFOs love to talk for 45 minutes, and you have to really dig in. And so that when you present, let's say, 5 profiles to your customer, our goal is to save that customer time with really accurate candidates. And that's part of our service, is that we've done all that front end. And so your time spent interviewing, like, we are valuing that by putting the best people up in front of you that we possibly can.
You fit the right individual into that company, they become super fans of your organization, because now you've got somebody that's a rock star helping them get to the next level. Everybody knows everybody, so they're telling their complementary business partners and CEOs. They all hang out together more or less. And that's how you get that momentum going for your organization. That's why you guys been able to scale so quickly in 6 years.
100%. Let's say we place the CFO at the job. They oftentimes might become the CEO in 5 years. And if you've treated that person well and kept a relationship, and then now they're a person in a hiring position or a strategic planning position, they're going to want to come back to you because they had a good experience. I've seen that even in my 14-year career. I'll place somebody as an individual contributor, turn around 7 years later, they're now in the C-suite, and they loved working with me and they come back. So it's so hard to acquire new customers because it's such a saturated space. But so, like, most of every relationship is, it's more of a account management or a strategic relationship approach. That is far better avenue for better business than always going cold.
Yeah, you've got your internal team. You need to have them super fans of the leadership, which is you, and whoever else is in the leadership roles in the organization. They've got to be super fans of the leadership team in your company. That transcends to who they're dealing with, and they want to turn those people into what I call super fans. And that's your growth engine, because you've got that momentum. It goes back to the sports team analogy. You got the super fans with the jerseys, the faces painted and everything else. They're promoting their favorite team to everybody. And that's what happens in business, is that if you get that momentum going where your customers are now being your sales force and talking to other businesses and says, oh man, you need to talk to my buddy Will. And that's the conversation. It's not, oh, I know a recruiter. No, you got to talk to my buddy Will. And then that collapses that whole sales cycle, because that guy's going to say, oh, all right, I'll just call Will and say, hey, John told me to call, and boom, and you're already in the conversation. Your sales cycle just collapsed dramatically.
Absolutely. I think you said this earlier. You were talking about, what is a company other than people? And I totally agree with that sentiment of a company is really just people that are choosing to work together on the same team. to reach a vision or objective and are all working towards that, because money is not, is a artificial thing. So it really is a company is people that are on the same team working together towards a common vision or a goal. Because I've thought, even when I started this business, I said, when is it a real company? Or at what point are we a real company? Is a $10 million business a real company? 50, 60 people, a real company? And I've come back to that same point you made. It's a team that works together. So you have to treat them well so that they care about the vision. And then if they'll treat your customers that will care about the vision of your company and refer more businesses out to you.
Yeah, your customers is everybody in the equation, really, because you're the individual that you're placing, that's a customer. The agency that you're working with, is that you're placing them into, is a customer. Your internal team is your customer. So if you create that experience to where it's a positive one, that just transcends everybody. And now you've got a collaborative, synergized organization that builds friendships. People go out together. I'm still friends with some of the people that I worked with decades ago, and because we had a camaraderie. We still call each other every now and then. It's 20 years. I was thinking about you. And we catch up, what's going on in life. But you're making memories at the end of the day, because at the end of the ball game here, that's the only thing we take with us. You can have quadzillion millions of dollars, and the only thing you take is your memories.
You know, that's good. You know, I did a survey. We do surveys to everyone in our company. And one of the things that kept popping up was that they stay working for us because of the who. And that is really important, is that who they do life with is what's important to them. And I heard that from some of our top folks. That's what's really sticking them to us, is that they want to be, it's about who you're doing it with. And that's been resonating with me. Recruiting such a low barrier to entry business, but a high barrier to success. We're forced to try to create as much value and to make sure the people that choose to work for us are having the best time doing it. And our goal is to make sure they make as much money as possible doing it. So
I'm going to use an analogy that I've used in the past, and it's, you're like the coxswain of a racing rowing team. You've got to get everybody has, you get the whole team aligned with what your vision is. And then getting them rowing in synchronization, because again, it's all individual to individual people. He's got to right this side and that side. And if they're not in sync to the vision, to the goals of the company and the goals of the people that they're working with, that boat's going no place. It's not even going in a circle, because again, it's individual oars. It's just wobbling like this and in place. And that's why you're scaling so quickly, is everybody's aligned with the vision, the mission, the objectives. And that transcends to the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of our number one core value is transparency. And we're completely transparent about all financial information. So we disclose everything as a small private company to everyone in the business. When it comes to being promoted internally, it's all merit-based, and we have clear objectives and milestones to be promoted. I think that you build trust when you're consistent and you have a merit-based program and you stay true to the vision and you're very clear with your direction there. I said this the other day, we're a small company. We can't outpay really large firms or add all these extra benefits and perks. We're never going to outspend a $1 billion competitor. But I think where we can win is with clear vision and teamwork and culture. And so we win with, as a smaller company, with clear vision and why and a clear path of an upside, versus sometimes these large mega companies in our space. It's very old school, command and control. It can get political. We're really the antithesis of that. It's more of like a flat organization.
Yeah, because what you're doing also, and I want to emphasize that, Will, is that everybody knows what the mission is. And because you're being transparent, people feel that they're part of it. They're contributing. They're helping it grow. They're part of something. And that's really the magic. A lot of times it's not necessarily cash that becomes the factor. It's really the environment that they're in, because they're happy to be where they're at, building the camaraderie with fellow team members. that in itself speaks volumes. The core of us that had started in the tech space, we stayed together for 7 years, which is unheard of. We would go camping together. We would go boating together. We would go to sports games together. We ended up creating a poker thing. Some of us would go in each other's houses and play poker. We had a team that was like family in a sense.
That's how I feel. My wife's always like, why don't you have more personal friends? And I'm like, I'm friends with the people I work with. They're my best friends. And she's, that doesn't count. You need to have like guy friends. And I'm like, they are my guy friends. She's like, that's who you work with. I really blur those lines. A lot of people in the firm now I've known for 10, 12 years, or we've worked at other agencies before. So I view it as, I feel blessed that they work for Frederick Fox. And a lot of us have shared experiences in the past, and what we're trying to create an environment that we wish existed before. And so we share in trying to create a really great environment, and we're pulling that off.
Yeah, because Sir Richard Branson says it the best. There is no difference between work and personal time. It's called life. Hello. And so at the end of the day, it's life. You guys are living. And that's what the companies that get that are the ones that are having fun, the ones that are scaling rapidly because they realize this is life. There's no difference. This, I'm living it. And they treat it as such, where versus you got the things, your job is you need to be here from 8 to 5 and you got to get my permission to go to the bathroom. It's just ridiculous.
And I do know some people like highly structured and they perform better with managers. I was never one of those people. I then felt like I had this obligation to my employer, or I was never good enough for my employer. And I just don't believe in that. I was that type of environment when I was an employee before made me feel anxious, made me feel like I wasn't good enough, made me insecure. Now that I've been blessed to be in the position I'm in, and I'm not saying I do a perfect job at it, but I don't want anyone to feel the way I used to feel working for a large publicly traded staffing company.
You're really creating super fans internally, and that's the difference, and that's why you've scaled so quickly to 10 million in 6 years in gross revenue, is because of the fact that everybody goes back to the rowboat. Everybody's in sync. Everybody knows what the mission is, and everybody's rowing and doing their part to get there. And they're happy to do it because they love what they're doing and they love who they're doing it with. And that's the other key.
Exactly. Being younger, starting a company, I always wanted to lead by example because there's people that have more experience than me in our company. One of the things I've prided myself on is I actually continue to sell, even though I don't have to. I believe in just being in the weeds. I know at some point in a company, that's not a scalable concept or best use of my time. But I think that's been part of the magic too, is that I don't sit on an ivory tower. I've always tried to lead on the front lines.
And that makes you part of the team. You're in there with the team, and that makes a great leader because leaders are running with their team.
Yep. So, that's the way I view it.
Yeah.
Yep.
As we wrap up here, Will, great conversation. How can people find your agency?
www.frederickfox.com. And you can always reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm under Will Spengler. If you message me at 11 o'clock at night, I'll probably respond.
We'll make sure that's in the show notes. Great conversation. Very much appreciate your time today. And definitely would love to have you on the show down the road again.
Thanks, Freddie. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
What a great conversation with Will from Frederick Fox. The big takeaway from today's episode is this. Real growth in a service-based business starts on the inside. Will showed us that when you treat your team like true partners, when you work with people instead of over them, you don't just build a company, you build momentum. For service providers, this matters because your people are the product. When your internal team becomes super fans of the mission, that energy carries straight through to your clients, your referrals, and ultimately your revenue. Will's story is a masterclass in leadership, transparency, and creating a culture where people actually want to stay, grow, and win together. If you enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. Join the Entrepreneur Prosperity Hub on School. It's free to join and get your free service provider prosperity playbook at school.com/eProsperityHub. Inside are tools, weekly growth plays, and live virtual networking events that help you connect, collaborate, and build a business that runs smoothly, predictably, and profitably. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm grateful you're part of the Business Superfans movement. Every listen and every action brings you closer to building your own superfans. Be sure to subscribe to the show. We've got another great guest coming up, focused on what really moves the needle for service-based entrepreneurs. I'll talk to you in the next episode. Remember, one action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer to lasting prosperity.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.